Amen. Leviticus chapter 13. Beneath the skin, the law of the leper. That's what we're considering this evening. Hopefully, my introduction will help us better understand how Old Testament law can help us with New Testament Christian behavior. And I believe that very strongly. When we learn these lessons from the Old Testament, they show up and what we do as New Testament Christians. Leviticus 13 and 14, those two chapters are devoted exclusively to the subject of skin disease. Now, of course, there's more to it than that, but that is the physical side of it. The skin is our outside that's attached to our inside. And spiritually, that works out quite wonderfully. This 13th chapter deals with the diagnosis of a skin disease and the determinations that go with it. And notice that I didn't say treatment. There's no treatment given. This is not a hospital. This is a nation safeguarding itself against something that can turn into something very serious, very awful. The leprosy that is being considered and the skin diseases cover a broad scope of invasive skin conditions. Some of them are tolerable. Others are intolerable. And that is what we find in Christian behavior. There are things that Christians do that might not look good, but tolerate it, might not sin. Then there are other things that are just blatant sin that have to be dealt with. In this chapter and into chapter 14, the invasive skin conditions extends not only on the skin, but things that will infect the skin, mold and mildew and fungi, even in garments and houses. So God is being very thorough about this. Fabrics, I should say, not only garments. And the examination and diagnosis of the priest concerning the body of the people as a nation, as a community even, the priests were to examine and make their diagnosis and determination to protect and control the disease from spreading. Dereliction of this duty would have been very bad. So the priests, and it appears from the records we have in Scripture that they didn't, with no record of them really getting any pushback. In fact, one situation where a king was smitten with leprosy, the Scripture says he indeed was quick to get out of there. So it doesn't seem as though there was any pushback on the determination of the priests when they said, you're a leper and you're going to be quarantined, isolated. Everybody understood. The leper is used in Scripture to point out those things that are contagious, the skin being used, of course, and those things non-contagious and that would trickle down to or point to the clean versus the unclean. So I have no intention this evening of attempting to give a class on Hansen's disease that we presently understand as leprosy, which destroys one's ability to feel, to sense things by touch, and that ends up causing major problems, amputations even, and other complications. If you want a good recommendation on a book about leprosy and Christianity, the number one recommendation I have is Dr. Paul Brand and Philip Yancey's In His Image, and then this volume 2, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And he gets into the body. Dr. Paul Brand was a devout Christian who was also a surgeon that dealt with reconstructing the limbs and face and whatever damage the lepers would do to themselves. He was a pioneer in that field. So, but this is not what I'm dealing with this evening, and in many ways it might not have been what Moses was dealing with, that microbacterial medical condition. Medical science, of course, has come a long way, and the physical sides of the leprosy that we're going to cover really has not much to do with us. It's the spiritual lessons. That's where the meat is. How many of you think you're going to be used in this life to examine someone to see if they have leprosy or not? So then why do I need to pay attention to the priests learning to do that? Well, on the physical side, that physical element, again, doesn't really apply to me. However, the spiritual applications are valuable and should never be dismissed because they have to do with spiritual discernment, as I mentioned, the clean and the unclean, the biblical and the unbiblical, good behavior and bad behavior. Discernment never goes away for us. It is an essential facet of our Christianity. So the parallels flow from the restrictions and the permissions of the priest concerning leprosy into real life decisions. And we're going to point some of that out in a little bit, how the nation dealt with this skin disease and how the church deals with spiritual disease. A lot of churches don't deal with spiritual disease. They might deal with, cultural, social diseases, but what about the scripture? What about the things God has forbidden or allowed? What about those things? Well, again, a lot of churches don't want to deal with those things because people won't come back. So you have to learn what God considers infectious and non-infectious. And that's what the priests are examining for. Is this thing going to keep spreading? Is it going to go on to somebody else? Is this harmful for others too? Where are we with this thing? The procedures and the protocols, they were critical to them. And they should be to us. So the main point behind leprosy in the Old Testament, whatever it might have been, we're not sure it was Hansen's disease. It could have been. But it certainly is more than that. There were other conditions that weren't what we would call Hansen's disease that were contagious, that did merit quarantine or isolation, that were simply called leprous. Well, the main point behind the leprosy in the Old Testament, again, whatever it was, it rendered the victim unclean to God and unclean to man. Well, that perks up our ears as Christians because we care about God. And because we care about God, we care about man. John, in his first letter, wouldn't let that go. How can you say you love the Lord and you don't love, and you have this hatred for people? So it's a safeguard, this 13th and 14th chapter, because the 14th chapter has to do with bringing the leper back in, taking them out of isolation. And the only leprosy that is cured in all the Bible is through miraculous means. There's no mention of a medicine or treatment for a leprous condition. The lepers that were cleansed were done so through God. So to repeat myself, Leviticus 13 and 14 are devoted exclusively to the subject of skin disease, its diagnosis and determinations. Now I'll add to that, there will be skin conditions that appear to be leprous, and the priest will get to the bottom of it, but they're not leprosy. But when there's something that fits the criteria of an invasive skin condition, that will be classified as leprosy. Again, whether it's what we know as Hansen's disease or not. And so serious is this that Moses, going over the law, reviewing the law for the people, when he's about to turn over the leadership to Joshua before the people enter into the promised land, he writes this in Deuteronomy 24, verse 8, "Take heed in an outbreak of leprosy, that you carefully observe and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you, just as I commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. Remember what Yahweh your God did to Miriam on the way when you came out of Egypt." So he gives them, and he brings up this sister who messed with him and how God dealt with her. And we're going to come back to her and him, because he too was smitten with leprosy. Momentarily, but he got a dose of it himself. So the nation must be zealous in safeguarding the people by order of God, as I just read from Deuteronomy 24. The leper was to be immediately separated from the whole congregation. Do we have anything like that today? Yes, disfellowship. You can't come back to church. Your sin has separated you. It has gotten so bad, it has reached the intolerable limits. And we can't let it keep going. It will spread through the congregation. And some Christians, they don't care for that. Like we love it. We don't care for it either. But we'd rather obey God than fear you. And it is wonderful when you get Christians in a congregation who can say to the pastor, "We got your back. You're upholding God's word." Versus the one that, "What did you do? What did you say to them?" Same thing I'm about to say to you. Duck. Too late. So, anyway. So, we have to be careful, not careless, in dealing again with things that corrupt. The law of the Jew provided that there should be careful distinctions between that which looked like leprosy but was not, and that which actually was. And God is the one who is customizing the nation. All of the law is God customizing his people, saying, "I don't care what the physicians of Egypt say. This is what I'm saying. This is my medical journal to you. I want this." And he didn't say it in that tone. He didn't have to. But it comes down to God saying, "This is how I want it done." And when, again, the leprosy was confirmed, the steps taken were drastic and they were instant with safeguards implemented. So overall, diagnostics is our lesson. Now, diagnostics is the objective side that had to do with the priest and somewhat with us also. But discernment is the spiritual side. Discerning spiritual things and making a decision based on what you see and you know from Scripture and not just guessing about it. Paul said to the Philippians, "This I pray." I like how that is translated from the Greek. "This is what I'm praying for you, that your love may abound still more in knowledge and all discernment." Well, that's what the priests were doing, discerning with love. Spiritual discernment is one thing. What to do with that discernment is another thing. So you imagine someone comes and meets with a pastor and says, "You know, I'm committing this sin and I really don't care about it. But I want to give the church a large amount of money." What's that pastor going to do with that? He discerns that this guy has sinned. He's a leper in that sense, for the sake of illustration. But what's he going to do? You're going to drive him out of the church like he should? How dare you think you could buy your way out and boast of your sin and have an impenitent heart? Believe it or not, there are those that pull little things like that, not as overtly as I'm giving, but they do it nonetheless. Don't be the Christian pandering to sinners under the guise of love or growth or fruit. But be the one that sticks with unflinching commitment to truth with love, with grace, with mercy. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, speaking about love. In Corinthians, love is made secondary to truth. But it's, of course, without love, what am I? Well, if the love I have is not based on truth, then it's not love. So they're tied in together. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It makes that distinction. This is a sin. This is nothing to be happy about. And this is the truth, that if you repent, where sin abounded, grace did much more. And that's the 14th chapter of Leviticus, when the leper is restored. But it's got to be God's way. So that's the introduction, which I hope makes a lot of the points that we're going to cover. So an overview, and I hope it's a critical, not criticizing, but important overview that's not lost on the verses coming up. So verses 1 through 8, he's dealing with the scabs, the swellings, the spots, and the leprosy. Verse 1, and Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or one of his sons the priest. Again, leprosy was any kind of serious skin condition that wasn't going away, that ran deeper than the skin. That's one of the big parts of identifying it. It runs deeper than the skin. There's some other things there, but the chances of you ever being called upon to determine if this is leprosy or not are zero. And so again, Lord, then why am I reading this? Because there are spiritual lessons here. A swelling, a scab, or a bright spot. Evidence of a problem. Like a leprous sore. Now, like or as a leprous sore is not in the Hebrew. However, that is, it is justified, the structure of the Hebrew, and the context of where all this is going, it makes it appropriate. So in case you're looking, so why do I have italics on the word like a leprous sore, which is an indication the translators have inserted that? Well, it does belong there. The root word in the Hebrew for leprosy is scourge. So it's really not our word. It's the scourge on the skin, used to refer, as mentioned, various disorders. And a leper may have any number of different diseases, but the one deeper than the skin on the flesh is the one that is going to get him to be isolated. Symptoms described here are not sufficient for us to say, well, this is the medical equivalent today. It could have been, you know, molds and mildews and things like that that are no longer around. They've morphed into something else. So we don't really need to get tripped up on that. And when you do, as a Bible student, that's what happens. You get tripped up. You're going down a rabbit hole that has no end to it, and you end up with nothing. But when you understand, okay, the flesh profits nothing, it's the spirit, then you come away, I think, much better off than you would have been the other way. We notice something very important about this second verse, that it was brought to the attention of the priest. The priest did not go out on a witch hunt. They weren't knocking on doors. Let me see your arm. Turn around. Let me see your back. They weren't looking for trouble. It was brought to them. And the church leadership is to run that way, and Christians are too. James chapter 5, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Don't think that those guys are going to read your mind. You know, so-and-so's sick today. I think I'll make a call. A lot of times they don't want you to come see them. I always ask, especially with the women, if they're in the hospital, you want me to come up? You want me to wait? And sometimes they say, yeah, not yet. I don't want you to see me like this. I'm going to respect that. I'm going to barge in the room. Here I am to save the day. Sweet Polly Purebred's in trouble. Anyway, verse 3. The priest shall examine the sore of the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. Now, I should point out, we're not going to read every verse that's in the 13th chapter. So if you've been agonizing over that, you can relax a little bit. So again, the duty of the priest to deal with this and not hide it. He's employing a little dermatology, epidermatology, with the deal with infectious diseases, a little mycology, he's going to deal with funguses, because in the next chapter he's, you know, deals with what's in the house. And at the end of this chapter, what's in fabric. So, you've got to deal with this and make an objective examination, investigation into a situation, even if it's unpopular. popularity doesn't factor into this. And that's why it's got to be objective. Sin on the surface versus sin deeper than the skin. So here's some dominant words that we're going to come across in this 13th chapter. And whenever we have this sort of this word cloud to see what stands out, it's because that's the dominant thought. 56 times we come across the word priest. One of those is in the plural, 56 all total. Because it is their duty to not only investigate, to uphold, not only to discern, but to act on that discernment. It's not a philosophy. It has to turn into something that is truly beneficial for all. And when we see this dereliction of duty and leadership, we're actually quite annoyed by it, disappointed. The word indeed, / if you have the old King James, behold, 20 times. So that's connected to the examination. Behold, indeed it is. You're dealing with facts. Skin shows up 34 times. Again, our outside that is attached to our inside. Because when you get a cut, you look to see how deep it is on the skin. Examine, the examination, 22 times, that objective investigation. And in the phrase, the priest shall examine, that's 16 times. Unclean shows up 23 times in this chapter. Clean shows up 19 times. Because some of the investigation will say, you know, this isn't leprosy, it's a skin ailment, but it's not a problem. Plague, that's a scary word, 19 times. That's a word that I don't think it's easy to ignore when you're reading. And you read, your eyes hit that word plague. It's a word that strikes an alarm. The word pronounce 19 times. Again, he's got to make a call. He can't be indecisive. I don't know what to do. Why not? It's right there. God's told you what to do. Deeper than the skin. That phrase shows up 10 times. Deeper than the skin. Here is the picture of skin. Inescapable in the heart. At the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The heart is deceitful. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. So the use of leprosy as metaphor for sin is not minor. It's major. Since my first lesson on Leviticus 13 and 14, and I don't remember where my first exposure really came. I know it was through reading, probably reading sermons on this. But I've never forgotten this lesson, and I have drawn from it many times. The use of leprosy as metaphor for sin. Sin is the ultimate wrong in humanity. We know that. It damns the soul. And leprosy is deeper than the skin. But the sin is deeper than the leprosy. But grace goes deeper than the sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more. So it's tied in. It goes deeper to uproot it. I think a dermatologist would really like what I just said. That's scientific and medical. Here's your degree. I expected an applause, standing ovation. I was actually hoping that would be the one. Anyway, man, especially humanistic man, will tout the innate goodness of man. God never does that. God does not find something innately good about man. He sees the good that has been corrupted. He sees what man was made to be, what man has become. And Leviticus 13 teaches the value of objective investigation and adherence to the divine protocols. And so now we move on and we go to verse 4. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of the body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and his hair is not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. Verse 5, and the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Great. If I'm the victim here, I'm waiting for lab results. So it's not something new. Be total of 21 days. He's waiting to find out, is he going to be sent out as a leper, unclean for the rest of their lives, having to cover up their face with a veil and say, unclean, unclean, stay away from me. Pretty scary, the dread of waiting. The benefit as a Christian coming to this is okay. You know, if you're going through these kind of things, I'm not the first one. And this person would have to be implement faith, and as we are called to do also. The friends and the loved ones, they would enter into the process. It'd be out of the hands of everyone. Just a matter of time. If the condition worsened, he'd be isolated another 7 days, which would bring it up to 21, and we'd get that verse 6. Then the priest shall examine him again on the 7th day, which is actually the 14th. And indeed, if the sore has faded and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. Now we skip to verse 7. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. Verse 8, and if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Again, not Hansen's disease, not lightly there, but that would certainly be included in it. So the lepers were unclean, and in reality, they were just more visibly unclean because we are all sinners. Isaiah 64, verse 6, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Now that humanist that will protest, well, the goodness, the innate goodness of man. Man is a sinner, and that goodness is a fragile goodness. And once it is set off, it can become very ugly. Spiritual allegory is what we're dealing with. You know, there is no direct spiritual statement in the Bible that leprosy is a picture of sin. It doesn't say, see, leprosy is a parallel or a metaphor for sin. But it doesn't have to be stated. The fact has to be there for it to become real. And the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the fact is revealed in other ways. We see the Holy Spirit worshipped and treated as equal with God. We see it in the Son. We see the Father. I mean, there are other factors. So it emerges, and it cannot be overlooked. The diagnosis of the sin condition. The literal is replaced by modern methods dealing with skin conditions, but the spiritual applications are still carried out by the church, as I've been repeating. And you know, when putting, you know, you think through this in preparation, you say, should I repeat some of this? Does it make for boring listening? Sometimes it does. But when it's on purpose, it's driven by the realization that somehow there are going to be those that will try to parry, to dodge it. You're telling them straight out what is right or wrong, and they'll still act like they didn't hear it. And thus, repetition. The Lord used repetition. Simon, 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 Satan has asked for you. That repetition of his name. And there's a train coming, Peter, right at you. So, when we read Leviticus 13, the parables emerge of this leprosy. For example, verse 3, deeper than the skin, that's that parallel sin, it spreads, verse 8. It defiles, verse 45. It isolates, verse 46. It is fit only for the fire because it is unsalvageable, verses 52 and verses 57. You see that pattern. You say, look at that. This leprosy behaves as though it were sin. Well, that's the image that we're being given. Leprosy is associated with rebellious sin, both directly and indirectly. We'll take the indirect first. Moses, when God was calling Moses into public ministry, he told him, put your hand in your heart, Moses, because Moses, they won't listen to me. How will they know? And he'll, I'll give you some signs to let you know that I'm on top of this. Why don't you put your hand on your heart? So he puts his hand in his bosom, and he pulls it out, and it's white, it's leprous. Again, we don't have to match that with Hansen's disease. That's not the point. Moses knew it was bad. It's very bad. And of course, he puts his hand back in his heart, and his hand is restored. And God is saying, you know, your heart is leprous. It is defective. It has all the characteristics of physical leprosy in a spiritual way. Then there's Miriam. Her insubordination led to her leprosy. She challenged the authority of Moses. The fact that he was her brother meant nothing. God was not playing nepotism. Well, you know, you can criticize Moses. He's your brother. God shut that down. She stayed out the camp for a week. White as snow with leprosy. Then there was General Naaman. Took a man of God to help him. You see the parallel with sin in all of these? The heart of Moses, the insubordination of Miriam, the need for a great prophet to help a leper. Then the Gehazi, who took the leprosy of Naaman on him because of his sin. It took a prophet of God to scourge him with the leprosy. Then there's King Uzziah. He took the wrath of God. It took the wrath of God to stop him from his disobedience, trying to offer on the golden incense offer that was reserved for the priest. No one was allowed to do that, not even a king. So figuratively, spiritual discernment. What pleases God and what does not. That's part of spiritual discernment. Looking at something and knowing where to put it in the presence of God. Not always enough to discern. You need more than that. One must act in accordance with God, as I've said. Well, let's go for some positive and negative verses to see it in the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians, Paul speaking to that fledgling church. This is a new church, not a year old yet, the best we can calculate. And he says, we command you. Remember, there are New Testament commandments. Brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Treat him like a leper. Withdraw. Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. When we get to the end of this, we find the sentence of the leper. He's put out the camp. Then there are 2 Timothy chapter 2, discernment in the New Testament church, now the positive. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Discern who has got the stuff to do the job. Not just anybody, because you like them or because of their profession. That's not enough. Here's another positive in Acts chapter 6. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. The need to discern. 2 Thessalonians, again back to the negative. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Well, that's baked into that verse. If you want to run a parallel to Leviticus, it would be chapter 14. Shame him so he can snap out of it. Today we have just an increase in people who just are shameless. You can't shame them. They're so into themselves. No matter what they're caught doing, their conscience does not bother them. They feel justified and entitled. And when that happens, you have high a heightened level of demonic activity, because that's what the devil needs. You know, there's the good soil, then there's an evil soil also. And to sow onto that soil a self-centeredness that is harmful to everybody is not from God. 1 Corinthians 15, this will be the last one for now. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Sin spreads. It will get you. Don't think, especially you youth, don't think you're going to be the exception. You're going to hang out with the bad boy or the bad girl and come out unscathed by the whole thing. That you somehow you just magically avoided trouble. That won't be the case, as the cops are putting the cuffs on you or tasering you. Isolation, disfellowship, because of what will infect an entire congregation. So, pastor, are you willing to have a small church that is following hard after Jesus, or do you want a bigger church if you can get it by compromise? Now, be careful, because I'm not at all saying larger churches are all compromised. I am not at all saying that. That wouldn't make any sense, because then who has the right to put the number on what a big church is, what a little church is? The fact is, are they trying to obey? And it's not easy as you get larger. It can get very difficult. So a congregation can continue to operate in the name of a church without being a church. Kurios, under the Lord, that word church comes from that Greek word, Lord. So they can act as though they're under his lordship, but they're not. You say, well, where's that in the scripture? Pergamos, Thyatira, Laodicea, Sardis. We'll throw in Ephesus as a bonus. Oh, it can be done. It happens. And so we come now to verses 9 through 17. These deal with apparently chronic skin conditions. Verse 9. When the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall examine him. Now pause again. Some of you may see the connection right away, but don't forget what I just read from James chapter 5. The priests were not out turning over stones and looking for trouble. The situation's brought to their attention. Then they have to act. We've had people that, you know, were living in sin, not married, living together, but still married to somebody else, and flying under the radar. Until finally one day, maybe the conscience bites them so hard, they blurt it out. Well, what do you think we're going to do with that? The law, if you threaten somebody in front of a sworn peace officer with bodily harm, he's supposed to arrest you. What are you supposed to do with that? Don't go rallying for the guilty unless you that leprosy creep out of them and creep into you also. And it's just better to just, you know, look for grace where you can apply it, but stand up for truth. And back to verse 10, and the priest shall examine him, and indeed if the swelling on the skin is white and it has turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling, verse 11, it is an old leprosy on the skin of his body, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. And shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. So that's a little. It's worth mentioning again the characteristic of sin. Sin isolates. I need to just look at something here a second. All right, I'm on the right page. The invasiveness, the persuasiveness, and that's the thing about sin. It is persuasive to the flesh. It's uncooperative. And it's relentless. Now, disfellowship, what we're getting out of this, it may be temporary, or it could be permanent. We can skip verses 12 through 17. Verses 18 through 28 deal with skin infections, or afflictions, I should say, that develop the following healings or burns and things like that. And you can read verses 18 through 28 if you really want to try to figure that out. Of course, It's pretty straightforward. Verse 29 through verses 37 deal with skin irritations, the scalp and the face. Verse 29, if a man or a woman has a sore on the head or the beard, and that's why I'm telling you it is dealing with that, the scalp and the face. I'm reading. I know you're there, and I know you're watching me, but I'm reading. All right, verse 39, verse 38 and 39, again, dealing with the spots on the skin without indication of impurity. Verse 38, if a man or a woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, specifically white bright spots, verse 39, then the priest shall look, and indeed, if the bright spots on the skin of the body are dull white, it is a white spot that grows on the skin, he is clean. Vitiligo, you know, when the skin gets discolorations, you may have seen some folks with almost pinkish skin and dark skin on top. Maybe that's some of it in there. Verses 40 through 44 deal with bald-headed people. So I'm really into this one because this one talks about me right in the first verse 40. As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean. That's me. And I say that almost every time I get out of the shower. I am bald, but I am clean. Verse 41. I actually had a pastor friend say, hey, when he first met me, hey, you're out of Leviticus. You're bald, but you're clean. So as they were loading him into the ambulance, I prayed for him and asked if the police were going to show up. Verse 41, whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald on the forehead, but is clean. Maybe alopecia, you know, parts of partial baldness, something like that. We don't have to zero in on what exactly is he talking about. We can just understand not everything was a leprosy, but it had to be examined. Verse 42, and if there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish white sore, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head. Or if I wasn't bald, I couldn't say it that way. Or his bald forehead. Verse 43, then the priest shall examine it. And indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on his bald head, really, God? Or on his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body. Well, Elisha was bald, and he's happy these verses were in here. Verse 44, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. So this is straightforward, but in reality, you have real people. Priests weren't, you know, skipping around happy about this. It was hard for them to break the news to someone who was deemed a leper. Verses 45 and 46, general guidelines following the priest's diagnosis. And this one we should read, verse 45. Now, the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. Verse 46, he shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So again, they had to veil themselves, covering up the mustache. That would, of course, be the mustache area, because ladies would have sin too. And most ladies don't have mustaches. And so, you know, the idea is that it was his or her responsibility to inform people that they had to keep their distance from him. Jesus, of course, comes along, smacks all that down. Verses 47 through 59 are laws concerning leprous garments. Again, the invasive nature of sin is the idea. The mold and the mildew woven into the fabric. Verse 47, also if a garment has a leprous plague in it, is that word plague? It doesn't quite mean the same thing in the Hebrew, but it still gets us to where we need to go. Whether it is a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it is, verse 48, in the warp or the woof of linen or wool, whether in leather or in anything made of leather. Now, I had a dog, and I would monitor his woof to see if there was a plague in it. Anyway, the warp is lengthwise, and the woof is crosswise. So the fabric woven together that on a loom, if what they were identifying as a leprous plague got in there, there were instructions on how to deal with this. Verse 50, we skip verse 49. The priest shall examine the plague and isolate that which has the plague 7 days. Verse 51, and he shall examine the plague on the seventh day. If the plague has spread in the garment, either in the warp or the woof, it in the leather or in anything made of leather, the plague is an active leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof, in wool or linen, or anything of leather, for it is an active leprosy. The garment shall be burned in the fire. So there's no recovery. And the parallel, the sin can reach a point of no recovery. When the person becomes irretrievable, Judas Iscariot became irretrievable. Satan has filled your heart. Go do what you must do. And he went out, and the Bible says, and it was night. That little detail, that means it was dark outside. And, you know, it's very symbolic of the heart of Judas, the heart of the world, and what the Lord was about to be dealing with on the cross. In verse we did 50 through 52. We can skip over 53 through 56. We come to 57. We don't have to read. No, we'll skip 57. We should, because we've got so much time left. We're at 58. Leviticus 13, verse 58. And if you wash the garment, either warp or woof, that'd be a good password. Right, or username, warp or woof. Make up your mind. Or whatever is made of leather, if the plague has disappeared from it, then it shall be washed a second time and shall be clean. Well, the discoloration could, if it could be washed out of the material, then it was not a persistent contaminating problem, leprosy. What I come away with in all of this is God wants victorious solutions. I've been working and having a lot of success recently with, I'm just going to stop complaining and just take it. And it actually has been very liberating. I did this years ago, and I kind of lost sight of it when I became a pastor. Kidding. That's not funny. Anyway, instead of complaining, can I find a solution for this? No. So then why am I complaining? This is what I'm processing in my head. And this is when I come to this, you know, in preparation for this evening. You know, look at that. God wants a solution. Sitting around, wringing your fingers, complaining, is not going to get it. And granted, there are pressures in life that just come on us. It's so intense. We just really struggle all the way through it. But we struggle nonetheless. And so I come away with, and maybe you will too, that verse 58 is God saying, I'm not here looking to having a scorched earth approach to things that aren't working out well. We're looking for solutions. And here in the garment, if we can save it, we'll save it, as with the person. God is plugged in. But if not, then we have to take the other route. Verse 59, this is the law of the leprous plague in a garment of wool or linen, either in the warp of the woof or in anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. So the repetition, as I mentioned, how many times the word pronounced is spoken, 19 times, how many times the word clean and unclean are spoken, because there's teaching in that repetition. And it makes for hard reading, but it makes for a good lesson. A destruction by fire was the only remedy for some contaminated items. And that's the story with mankind. And you look at what some people think in this world, and you say, man, if they continue on that course, if that evil continues to spread from their heart, the fires of hell is the only thing that they're going to face. Sin harasses every good thing, which is part of the lesson. He said, don't put your treasure where moth and rust can get to, because sin's going to be looking to take whatever gains you make in life. Which is kind of an annoying thing about the stock market, isn't it? It goes up, it goes down. You lose, you get some. You get like 2 steps forward, and 1.5 backwards. And it's just, why can't it all just be forward? Why does somebody have to mess it up? Go mess up your own stocks. Not that I just notice these things. And I know some people who encourage you, you should use the stock market. And say, my mattress is just fine. That's not true. I don't use a mattress. It would be a hard sleep. Anyway, it would be a hard sleep because there's nothing under it, and I'd be worried all night. Why don't I have money under my mattress? Anyway, back to this, Jesus not turning away a leper that approaches him. And there's another part of the story. He come to the priest. Luke chapter 17, our high priest, verse 12. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they were saying, unclean, unclean. 9 of those lepers were Jews. 1 was a Samaritan. And, of course, he cleansed them all. And only the one came back to say thank you. So if we as Christians pray with someone about some pressing need and God answers our prayer, the onus is on us to come back and thank the Lord, because he recognizes those who are ingrates. Man, if my life was messed up by leprosy like this, and all of a sudden I was cleansed and restored, I think I'd be looking for that person to thank them. I would just, who doesn't come back and say thank you? That's what Jesus was asking. Weren't there 10 of you? Where's the other 9? And they're Jews too, aren't they? They know the law. Anyway, next chapter is the law of the cleansing of the leper. Then the Day of Atonement for chapter 15. And then we do some other stuff in Leviticus. It's code for I don't remember what's coming. Let's pray. Our Father, as always, clear and to the point. A little repetition, Lord, but we're built for it. We can handle it. We pray that whatever lessons you put in front of us, that we would take advantage of it. Whatever things you just brought to our memory for recall, we thank you for that. And whatever things are still a little foggy and unclear, may your Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. We ask that we would get home safely tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.